Right. Maintenance. Y'all come on in. Let me get all my little windows set up. I hope y'all are coming in today and bringing the heat. Love to coach some people. So let me get the, we've got Julie who would like to get coached. So if one person wants to get coached, I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to bring Julie on up. And then I want to kick it off with, we had a question come in that I wanted to answer. And somebody had asked about how will next year's camp or live event, however you want to say it. Hey, Julie. How will that like work for maintenance people? So the first thing I just want to say is most camps aren't all about weight loss. So I would say, well, Julie, you've been to a lot of camps. You're a good example. I would say 70% of the events that I've done are about all the things that are, if you resolve them or we work on them or we do them, they are applicable to life. And a lot of those are the reasons why people eat. So I use a lot of weight loss examples. I'm not going to lie to anybody, but it's not like you go to camp and it's all about losing weight. So we've done like relationships, self-love, become the queen of your life. We've done, I don't even know, like become the hero of your story, where we rewrote our past and stuff like that. So we've done like all types of topical camps. I don't know what next year is going to be. I have an idea. And since y'all are maintenance, maybe y'all can tell me if you like it. Well, Julie, you can tell me if you like it. You've been to several. I want to do something called Becoming a Nobius Woman. And like I have it in my head where it's like 2 days of us really thinking about defining what a Nobius Woman is to us in life. So, you know, we have our Nobius Woman in terms of like how we eat life, but there's so many other areas of our life. And I'd love to do a whole weekend where it's really themed on kind of calling your shot for what you want at this stage of your life and what it would be like, where you kind of walk out with your own, this is my personal Nobius Woman creed. Now that I know kind of what I want and don't want, now I can go into my real life and I can start aligning to that and I can start doing those things. Because I think that stuff like that is like the core foundation anyway for weight loss. If you don't know who you want to be, then you're going to lose weight being whoever you are now, and maybe you don't like her. You're just going to be a thin version of somebody you don't like, or you're going to be a thin people pleaser, or you're going to be a thin overworker, or you're going to be a thin overwhelmer, you're going to be a thin anxious person. I don't want people to become a thin, not leveled up version of themselves. So that's kind of what I'm kicking around. But the reason why I say all that is because camps are not about fundamentally weight loss. If you come in person, in particular, it's so much more. It is about being away from your own environment. It is about focusing on you and taking care of you for a couple of days. It is about taking time out of life to really think on a level that you can't think sometimes when you're in your real life. It is like a self-care, it's like a self-care moment. So that's what I have to say about that. Information's coming out, I believe it's next week. I think we're release the hounds and letting people sign up because we're gonna have a 12-month payment plan. So Chris and I were adamant that we were going to open sales in September to give people plenty of time to break payments and do all the things. So, like, you have 12 months. And then if you sign up in, I don't know that we're going to have spots available past September. Camp in person almost always sells out pretty fast. But our plan is if we still have spots, November would be 11 payments. So, but like I said, they pretty much go fast, especially because we hadn't had one in 2 years. So, I bet they go fast. All right, Julie, what do you want help with?
Well, first of all, I am a no BS woman. And that means when something breaks in our house, like a light fixture, I say, well, I'm a no BS woman. I can figure it out. And I go to Dr. YouTube and figure it out. And I've used it for so many things that have nothing to do with weight loss. So I'm right with you on that. That is absolutely true. It's also, and camp has helped this tremendously. When you know you have your posse of peeps and so many of them, and a few of them are on here right now, Miss Cindy, that are, I can call them or FaceTime them or Marco Polo at any time, like I'm going to kill my husband, or something, and they're there for me.
Just promise me I'm not going to see you on Forensic Files one day. I love that show.
No, because of my no my backups. They're like, okay,
I
we're
don't need
gonna.
that narrator guy going, and then we found tape of her saying she was going to kill her husband.
Right. Yeah. That's why I have a necklace that has a little pause, and I go, okay, and
There
that's
you
my
go.
word of the year. Pause. Yeah.
All
So,
right.
all right. So here's the deal. I've been an OBS woman for 7.5 years and maintained for most of that, and then gained 10 pounds with my mama drama last year. And now I've lost 16 of it. But anyway, the reason I say that is because now I have reached what I always thought was going to be the top of my maintenance range. And of course, now I go, oh, hell no. And I'm going to keep losing. But here, because I'm almost 67, I have crepey skin and saggy, like, I when I'm saying words that you all would yell at me, I say I look like a Salvador Dali painting, or like sometimes if I lean over, my arms look like sourdough starter. I mean, it's just gross. And so at some point, I have to realize thinner is not going to make me look better. I will look worse, I think. And I'm
Yes.
starting to realize that I will look younger when I'm a little heavier, and I will look healthier, maybe even. And then I won't, and the lifestyle will stay the same, because I've tweaked everything. So my question is, how do I know? I've been on a diet for over 50 years. So how do I know when to let go of that number that I always thought in my head was perfect? The Weight Watcher number, I am about 3 pounds away from that, so I will hit that, damn it, at least once. And then
Well,
I kind of have to decide. So I just
you
am
just said
looking
the
for some
magic word.
advice.
You have to decide. It's not a like I can't tell you,
Yeah.
like, here's the formula for knowing. It's
Come
literally, you
on.
just have to decide, this is it. This is what I'm like, this is the number. This is all that comes with it. And you already said, I mean, you're probably around, I mean, I know you want to lose the 3 pounds just to hit the Weight Watchers number,
Right.
but, and that's fine if that's what you want to do. There's no problem with that. But just remind yourself that 3 pounds will not help crepey skin. Trust me, I do all the things trying to help my crepey skin. I'm just 51 and I'm like, I got sourdough starter over here too. It's not as easy to see with this camera. It's very
Yeah.
generous. But that was one of the reasons why I was saying on the last call, I had a lot of negative thoughts this morning. Like my skin just looked like particularly shitty today. I don't know why. Just for some reason, everything looks flat and
Oh, and gravity just sucks. Like sometimes I'll grab my thighs and pull them up, and I go, oh no, that looks good. Then I let go. Ooh.
Yeah, I did that yesterday. I was wearing
Oh my
shorts.
God.
And
Yeah,
I was
I have
like,
shorts
man,
on.
like
Shoot.
if I could somehow pull my legs up like pants, I'd look
Yes.
amazing.
I know, it's terrible. Yeah, and I do hear you say all the time, if you don't love yourself today, you're not going to love yourself when you're thinner. And man, that is truth right there. It is so true. And
But do you love yourself?
yeah, way more than I used to. Yes.
Okay.
And I like myself with clothes on a whole lot better than with clothes off. And I think probably everyone does. So that's
That's
maybe a
all
normal
normal.
thought. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that there's did you do the Body Love Camp?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, maybe now that you have, because that's been a minute. I think that was over a year ago.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
it was 2 years ago, actually. Maybe it
Yeah.
was 2 years ago. But maybe you
Yeah.
do it now at this stage, like
Yeah,
with the
that's a good idea.
in at your maintenance weight, like all of those things. Because one of the things that's in there that was really good, we talked about it, I think, last week's call, I think it was last week. There's like a body image spectrum, and you're probably more in the body love category, but like at the very end is like unconditional love, total acceptance, and things like that. I think sometimes we forget that judging our body some is not always body hatred, and it's not always bad. It's just, I find that it's really hard in this day and age, and just like the way that the world works when it comes to women's bodies and everything that we hear. I think it's just really hard to not let any of that penetrate. So I, what's given me more peace, hang on, I gotta take a drink. Something just flew down the back of my throat like a crazy person. What's given me peace is normalizing that there are just parts of me that I don't like, but I don't hate them. Just don't like, if I could have like perfect skin, I'd take it in a heartbeat. But who wouldn't? If I could, somehow hike my legs up every day, I'd take it because I know that society likes legs like that. But that doesn't mean I hate myself. It doesn't mean that something bad's happened. It just means that sometimes I don't like parts of my body. And I just think that's normal. I have a child. There are parts of my child I don't like, but I really love him. I'll do anything for him. I'd give my life for him. But that doesn't mean I'm always pleased. Like right now, I'm very not pleased with his selection of pals. But I think that's just normal. And so I think sometimes
Yes.
we need to remember that when it comes to our body and reminding ourselves, like I always, like yesterday when I hiked my legs up, I also said, and you get to do it once a day. Like, we're not doing that anymore today. I try to break myself out of the habit of, I think they call it body checking or something like that, where you're like pinching and grabbing at your body and trying to see what it would look like in
Grab
different
this
ways.
thing.
I try to minimize how often I do that because sometimes I just do it. It's like a reflex. Like, I don't even consciously know I'm doing it until I catch myself. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, we don't need to do that. And I try to replace a lot of times when I'm doing that, I try to also remind myself, like, I try to either stand in a way that I like the way I look, or I try to remind myself, like, I go put something on where I'm going to look good or whatever. And to just give my mind the memory or the yin and the yang of it. It's like, we have this and we have that.
Yeah, and I also remind myself that at my age with two granddaughters, and my daughter always used to say, "Well, what do you care what you look like?" And I remember thinking that about my parents, my mother, and really, no one in my life, no one, my friends, my relatives, my children, no one cares what I look like. And I could gain 20 pounds or lose 20 pounds, and they wouldn't think of me in any way differently, and my life would not be any different. And so really it's the comparing that, and I've also pretty much let go of, but have for a long time had that regret of, if I hadn't gotten so big, because in another couple pounds, it'll be almost 50 pounds that I've lost from quite a while ago, that I used to weigh that much more. But that's where this extra skin's coming from. Well, I can't do anything about that. All I can do is rejoice and, hey, but here I am now. And it's just that thought work pops in every once in a while, and it's just waiting, and then I have to, you're right. That's exactly what I have to do, is like, all right, I can have that thought one time a day. I love that idea. Okay, I can have that crepe there. There's that sourdough starter right there. When I'm at the gym
And we're
lifting
done
40
playing, and
pounds.
we're done playing with it for the day.
You're
Yeah.
right. Like, I just did it three times already, right? Yeah, you're
It's like when
right.
you have a little toddler boy and he's playing with his penis, and you're like, okay, like, I caught you playing with your penis, but we're
We're
not gonna do that
done.
anymore today.
Right. Yeah. Well, and when I am at the gym being a badass and lifting my 40-pound dumbbells and chest presses and doing those things, then I will say to the young 25-year-old trainer, yeah, but look at this skin. And she looks at me like, what? And they've just all said how, like, I'm one of the older ones at the gym, and they are all in awe of me, a lot of them, because they're 20 years younger than me, some of these ladies and men, and can't lift what I lift. And I've been going a long time now, but I have to remember that and just focus on, yeah, but underneath this extra skin is all these strong muscles. And that is one of my whys, actually, is to so you can
Try
see my muscles.
to. So make a goal for yourself
Okay.
to break the habit of explaining away your body to other people. Because that's a habit that we fall into, and it kind of stems from
Yeah.
like we think we're unacceptable, and we just want to make sure everybody knows, like I know it. It's like a self-protection mechanism because sometimes we worry that people are judging us or whatever, like deep down, because humans
Yeah.
are judgy. That's just the way we are. We are meant to size up the competition all the time. It comes from our tribal days because you needed to fit in with the pack and you needed to not get, you couldn't be seen as weak or whatever, or they'd kick you out and then you would get eaten by something. You wouldn't have the protection of the group. So we don't lose those instincts just because we're in 2025. So our instinct is to always be sizing people up around us. And if we think for some reason we don't fit in, like for us, it's at the gym, you don't fit in because you have crepey skin. It's like that goes on, and like that is the subconscious thing. And that is why we would say things like, but let me just tell you about this. It's like our primitive brain saying, if I let the tribe know I have a problem, they won't kick me out. And so we can look at that and know, oh, that is a primal instinct kicking in. And what we want to do is we want to remind ourselves, we don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to do that anymore. And eventually, when you like notice you want to say it and you stop yourself, eventually it will extinguish that habit.
Yeah, and I do that all the time. I'm very that self-judgment. And I'll project my thoughts onto someone else, and they don't even have those thoughts. They haven't even thought about it, but I think they are thinking that, and that's silly. So, yeah,
Yeah.
that's
And
a,
then and
yeah.
sometimes we do it just to, we're so used to only losing or maintaining weight by pressure and like, gotta do it, gotta do it, gotta, like, there's gotta be a level of pressure. And especially when you get close to maintenance or you're in maintenance, you don't have pressure anymore coming from needing to reach a number. Like, if you think
Yeah.
about as you're losing weight, there's a goal and there's like, and it's not even always negative pressure. It's just, there's something driving you. And if you think somewhere deep down that if I don't have something driving me, I would regain my weight or whatever, then we create faux pressure. We do things like, you know, I need like I'm going to body dismiss. I'm going to always be hard on myself because if I'm not hard on myself, then I wouldn't do the things I need to do in order to keep my weight off. So just watch
Yeah.
for that too.
And
If
that
that's coming
might be
up.
what I'm doing because it's an uncomfortable, it sounds weird, but it's an uncomfortable feeling to not, like, I'll go a whole day just following doable hunger, right? And just eating like a normal. And then at the end of the day, I think, oh, I didn't listen to a podcast. I didn't do that. I didn't think about weighing, measuring, or doing something all day long, maybe even for 2 or 3 days. And then you're I've been away for a weekend and I haven't been on a scale and I've lost weight, but I didn't like eat celery the whole weekend. And it's a because I, you know, that's what I did for 50 years. So not thinking about it, it leaves this big expanse of time and I can think about other things. And sometimes I do fill it in with like, yeah, but I still have this crepey skin or whatever. So that's a very good point. But I like being a real specific task, like what I'm really going to think about is when I'm at the gym, not pointing out my flaws, you
Yes.
know, because I feel like I'm compelled to do that for some reason. That's a great
Yeah.
idea.
And
Great.
then just watch your body check in. And then if you do it once, just I would even say it out loud and say like, all right, you
Done.
like we're done for the day.
Yep.
So if you catch yourself trying to, just be like, oh, wait, I forgot. We're done for the day. I've already had my time today. If you're
Oops.
doing it, you just say like, oh, I must have forgot. We're done with this for the day. We just
Yeah.
redirect to not doing it so that we can break the habit.
Right. That's awesome.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Good
Yay.
seeing you.
You too, Corinne. Bye.
All right. Do I have a coach here today? I don't. Okay. I was wondering why is the Q&A stacking up? Let me answer some of the questions. Hey, Corinne, can you explain a little more about only having 10 pounds to lose is different? And are there some resources in the lessons to help us with that? All suggestions will be great. It is not different. It's the same basics. It's exactly the same. So you just listen to the regular stuff. I would venture to say that when you only have 10 pounds to lose, what I was saying in the last call is we're down to the nitty-gritty. That means that you can't be skipping discovery worksheets. You have to be paying attention to bites, licks, and tastes. You need to be paying attention to your emotional eating like a boss, because that is where the last 10 pounds hide behind. Usually, when somebody's lost their weight and they're within the 10-pound range, they have cleaned up mindless eating often. They've cleaned up habit eating. You may or may not be exercising. You have probably leveled up a lot of foods. Like you've made the changes that get you to the last 10 pounds. I always tell people the last 10 is in the emotional eating. Otherwise, you don't have any weight to lose. Now you just got to get happy with these 10 pounds. You may be trying to lose 10 pounds you don't need to lose without starving. Now, without going into like true, like when I was, I'll give you the difference. The last 10, when I was like between 160 and 150, was all emotional eating. It was just making sure that every 3 or 4 days, I didn't just eat ice cream at night because I had a rough day. Or we wouldn't just go to a restaurant and then I would just be like, well, I've lost 90 pounds. I had a, like, I'm just really tired today. Let's just order pizza. It'll be okay every now and then. And it won't happen all the time. It won't be like when you're first noticing your emotional eating and you feel like you got whiplash. It's like, oh my God, it's everywhere. So when you're in that last 10, that's where it's at. And so that's why you really have to work on the emotional eating reset, which is inside the membership, the nighttime eating workshop. And then we're getting ready next week to do, not next week, it's September, I think it's the 12th. I believe it's the 12th. We're doing the weekend, the how to quit blowing it on the weekends. Now, you may not be blowing it on the weekends, and you may not always be a nighttime eater, but I would take all three because it repeats itself from the emotional eating reset. It is really digging into how do you look for things, the triggers that might be happening, why we do it the way we do it. It really works through that, through all of them. And so that's why I would take all of them. But that is what I would make sure you understand is that the last 10 doesn't mean I have to eat a lot of less food. It means I really now have to fix the like nail the final nails in the coffin, the little bits of emotional eating that I am now holding on to because that is where my 10 pounds are. Okay. It can also be over drinking. You can apply, I would bet you that if you take the emotional eating reset and all of those, I bet you can find drinking will fit right in there. Because if you're over drinking, you're just not overeating. Now, a lot of people who overdrink then overeat. But if we fix the overdrinking and the reason why we're overdrinking, we remove the overeating at the end. A lot of times that's just momentum. It's like you think about drinking, you take the logic brain and you say like, "Look, I don't need you for a while. Go on vacation, take you a good nap. Like relax." Like you go over there because me and the habit brain, we're going to be over here just making impulsive decisions. We're taking everything offline. That's what we do when we drink. Not to say that that's bad, but that is what's happening. That is why a lot of times, like when I was like back when I was a drinker, I still drink sometimes. I drink a lot when I'm in Vegas. Like I had to get outside help with the food. Because if we drank and I had enough wine, it was always that fourth glass of wine. I could not eat like a donk and drink 3 glasses of wine. Number four, now we're in trouble. I want Taco Bell. I want McDonald's. I want to like whatever. Let's stop and get ice creams. All that, all the shenanigans to start. So you have to be aware of that. Now, it's very hard without doing some type of external things to stop that because you don't have a logical brain functioning. Alcohol diminishes it, takes it offline. So that is why I would ask Chris, I would tell Chris, look, I may even act like a fool, but we're going to drink tonight. And I am not allowed to eat afterward. Remind me that I didn't want to do it. Let me argue with you. Let me be a butthole if I am. Just know I don't mean it because I'm not thinking clearly. And we would talk about how that's the price we pay for us to go out for a drinking night. But I was going to break the habit of eating afterward. And so I would always tell him, I will apologize in the morning and I will make it up for you the next day. A few times I yelled at him, and then I got to where I didn't yell anymore. It was not long before I was not like, that's so unfair. You should let me eat. I know you want some too. I know what I said, but I didn't really mean it. Like I had all the shit that I would say. But that's why we get external help. That was also a reason why, if I was drinking, we did not keep chips and shit in the house, or at least I wouldn't be able to find them when I'm drunk. Sober Corinne put everything where Drunky the Clown couldn't find it. It was too hard. It needed ladders and all kinds of shit. I was never willing to climb a ladder when I was drunk to go get some chips. But I would set myself up for success because I knew the version of me coming home from date night is not the person who can think through her decisions. So I had to do that sober and set her up for success. Let's see. Chasta. Oh, there's Coach Lizzie. Lizzie, there is some questions up in here, but I don't think you'll be able to see them. I'll try to get as many as I can. Okay. Vicky, you will be next. Oops. Hey, Chasta.
Hello.
You and I have a very similar haircut.
We do. I was like, oh wait, hers is a little more blunt than mine. Maybe I'll roll with that one next time.
Yeah, I'm really blunt, and your hair is a lot thicker than mine. I have a lot of hair, but I have very thin lots of hair. So.
I have very thin hair that's getting thinner, but it's coming back. So I also have all these crazy new baby hairs growing in, and they're growing in white, so I'm just going with it. I'm going to my silver fox era of life. That's what my husband
Well, Miranda's still kicking and screaming. She's still getting it bleached every 6 weeks. I always say like, oh my gosh, my roots up here. I can see them. I don't know why I can't see these roots.
Isn't that funny? Oh my
Yeah.
gosh.
All right.
So
What you need
I'm
help
about a
with?
month into a significant career transition, and I'm evaluating, I guess, what I need to support myself through the intensity of this time. I would say, like, from now to the end of the year. And so I've landed my first executive role, and while it's really positive stress, I can definitely tell my nervous system is just like ratcheted up, kind of like a low boil, which I know is normal, but I also don't want to allow that to go on without supporting myself. So I'm not eating over it, which is good, and my habits are on point, but I can just tell that like I'm holding some water and I feel kind of inflamed, right? And this morning on my walk, I remembered something you had said on another call a while ago about completing a stress cycle. And I was trying to search it on the website and couldn't find it. So I just thought I'd come here and ask about that. And then just any other advice that you would have, because I'm living Corinne's life now, right? Of just having
Yeah,
like that newness and supporting myself through that time.
I cannot remember where the Lizzie might be able to find it. Gosh, I remember talking about that and I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it's something like stress kicks off and then like we kind of have to feel it and then we have to let it out. So you have to do something with it. So sometimes people eat, but For some of us, it's like doing a walk or just something. But the tail end, the most important step, which is where the stress cycle doesn't get complete, is where we say to ourselves, I've handled this really well. And like that is where, like, especially if you're doing a career transition and you're like, now I'm an executive, and there's like this whole host of things that are becoming, it will be really easy to get caught up in, it's never enough. I've got to keep doing this. I got to prove myself, blah, 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 blah. And the stress cycle won't complete if you're never acknowledging when you are getting better at handling things. So, like, every single time you do something at work where you think, I did a good job on that, or you complete something, or it was, you were struggling and now it's easier for you. Completing the stress cycle is where you acknowledge, like, oh, this thing that was stressing me is over, and I handled it this way. That's what truly will complete a stress cycle. What most of us do is like get new job thoughts, like, oh my gosh, I'm brand new, I'm gonna suck, what if I bomb? Like, all of that's happening, that drives our stress. Then we get into action. So we go to work, we do the things, blah, 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 blah. We never do the acknowledgement piece where this part's over. And when we don't, we're just literally going from work to new stressor, new thoughts,
That's
take action,
exactly,
new stressor, new thoughts, take
yes, that's it.
action.
That's exactly right. And there's so much to do. I'm rebuilding all of North America and Canada. So, I have 200 employees
Just a
under
little
my
thing.
remit, right? And so
Just North
it's
America.
just no deal. It's fine. But it's not that I don't feel like I have imposter syndrome. It's not that. I think it's just there's so much to do, and it's almost like the thing that makes us great is the thing we have to manage, right? I'm a systems thinker, and this is connected to this, and so we got to root cause that, but it just doesn't stop. And I reached a point this week where my eyes popped open up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm an early riser. And I immediately, like, I went to go get my planner and journal and do the things. And I immediately was triaging the day before I even went to pee. And I'm like, this can't continue. And so I'm at that 30-day mark. And I just thought, I need to get some counsel because.
I will tell you something that's really helpful. This is what I teach my business members, and I do it myself. In fact, I did it yesterday. We have a planner over there, and you don't need it, but it's, we do a, I do a weekly recap every week. And the first question is, what did you accomplish this week? And so I write like all the things that I finished, I either finished it, checked it off the list, accomplished. The way that I do it is I plan the week. I always have five big things that I want to move. I do a lot of different things all week long, but I always have like five things that's like, no matter what, these things have to get done and they are important. So they make the list. So it just kind of makes me think through everything. But at the end of the week, I go back and I look at it, and I almost always get them all done. Every now and then I have something I have to kick over because something will happen. So I write those down because then that's like, because if I don't do this activity at the end of the week, I go into the next week and I'm constantly saying, I don't get anything done. I don't get enough done. I'm not getting enough done. And I have to actually give myself proof. And it never ceases to fail me because if I just look at that piece of paper on Saturday or Sunday, I get so much done during the week. I can't remember anything. Like, it's like I go snowblind and I don't even, I literally can't recollect stuff that I did. And so that's why every single day I plan my days, they're on my calendar. I have to go back and look. And so I always look at the five. So I write those down first. I can feel literally in my nervous system calming down, thinking like, oh wow, like sometimes when I write something down, I don't even believe I can get it done in that week. And then I get it done in like 2 days. Then the next thing I do is the question is, Like, what else did you get done this week that wasn't one of your top five? But what else did you accomplish this week? That's how my planner goes. I go back through my calendar and I literally look at the reason why I go through my calendar is because my calendar is always time chunked. And so I know what I've completed and not because I'm only working by a calendar. If you have like a project management tool where you can go back and look at
Right.
what all
Look
did
at your time blocks.
what all did I check off this week? You can always, I just think it's such a good practice. You're already a journaler, you write it down. There are some weeks my best friend laughs at me because I will Marco Polo her in the morning, like on a Sunday. I'll be like, I've got to plan the week. And I just didn't get shit done this week. It was such a busy week. I didn't get anything done. And like, that is my story. I didn't get anything done. And nothing I wanted to do got done. Then I go and I plan my week. And the first thing I do before I plan my week is I always have to do my weekly recap to make sure that anything I didn't get done gets moved. And I Marco Polo in the afternoon, I'm like, oh my God, you won't believe all the shit I got done this week. Like, boy, am I a hard worker? Like, my attitude is so different. So it helps. And that is what completing the stress cycle is. Because without acknowledgement of what you've done, you're just always moving to the next emergency.
It's so interesting to hear you tie this to completing the stress cycle because I have my managers do this. I call it the Great Week email. And so I just have them on Fridays recap, people, pipeline, process, performance, like give me the rundown on the big rocks. And they add some things and little things and big things and color and all the different things just in conversation. But I never thought about doing that for myself and like putting a bow on it, really, is what I'm hearing you say. It's like more acknowledging it back to me, not necessarily. I've always used it as a tool to manage up. Never really thought about it's my own mind management.
Yeah, you got to manage. You're the most if you think about your entire 200 team, who's the most important person on that team?
Yeah, me.
It's you. Your brain is the one that has to be protected the most. Because if your brain, and you get to be the most important, sometimes that's hard for leaders. It was hard for me when I first started embracing this concept. And my husband's a big believer in it. And he's always like, when we have meetings, and we're just kind of going about things and whatnot. He always will say to the team, he calls me hot commodity. It's like, we have one hot commodity because without this one, none of us have a job. And so our job is to protect the hot commodity. And she needs like this kind of communication, and she's going to need these deadlines hit. And he always tells me, Corinne, you get to be a little bit of a diva. That doesn't mean I go to my team and just be like, I'm the best one and whatnot. It means it allows me to remember nothing works unless I'm working. And I got to be working right. And I've got to be managing my mind. And I've got to be acknowledging my stress cycles. And, if I'm noticing something's amiss, maybe I do need help. And I don't need to feel bad about that. I need to be like, no, you're hot commodity. That means you got to ask. So, I think it helps. And, when you talk about, inflammation and all that kind of stuff, that is exactly what stress does. Like when I have a very stressful period, like if we're doing a launch and we got, now I've got, just because I'm live launching 1 week doesn't mean that I don't have stuff that's going to happen in 3 weeks that I got to do right now. I'm always up 3 or 4 pounds.
Yeah,
My body's hanging on to that water like it is some kind
yes.
of magic
Oh
elixir.
yeah, it's like I've so for a month, it's like I jumped up to 2 pounds, and it's just like hanging out, and you can feel when it's water, like you know what I mean? I'm just like, ugh. And it's sticking around. I mean, it's not. It's, and I'm like, okay, I know I'm not eating over this. I'm not overeating. Like nothing has changed. And so I'm like, how do I? And of course, my brain wants to like, well, I'll walk more and I'll do so, like I want to be on the do line of walk more and sauna and more water and all the things. But I'm like, no, it's deeper than that. Like there's more. I need to get to the root, because the stress isn't going to stop, right? And I'm happy to have it, and I'm, you know, this, I want this for my career. I'm like, I got to get something, some mechanic happening in my week where, and it never dawned on me to acknowledge all the work I'm doing and all the things that I am moving right now, because it's like, feels like I'm, you know, trying to steer the Titanic at the moment, you know.
And then I would just do some of your thought work around, like, because it's going to feel very real to you, but just because it, my coach always tells me, because I always talk about having a lot to do, and she's like, Corinne, I know that that is like true, and I'm not going to argue with you that it's true. Like, I'll give it to you. You have a lot going on, but at the same time, saying it over and over again is not helping you. Because every time I say it, then I kind of like, I might not be running to Oreos, but I feel pressure. I
Yes, it's like
feel
it's
like a little bit,
self-reinforcing.
it's just a little stress. It's just a little this. She always tells me, she's like, if you say you have a lot to do, you have to also buffer it with, I have a lot to do and I always get things done. Don't just let it hang out there. Or she'll tell me, don't say it at all. Just say, I always get the most important things done. I've never, like, I will, the one thing I do believe about me is even when I have a lot of things going on, I never fail to get the things that need to be done done. I've
Priorities.
just never, like, never forgot to feed my child. I've never forgotten to, like, you know, pay our bills. I've never like had a project that had a promised deadline and I not meet it. I've always figured out a way, even if I came in on one wheel, I came in. I might not be doing A plus work, but I always get things like I know, like I really trust. I always figure out the things that have got to be done. I've, you know, that's why I always think like when y'all are overwhelmed and stuff, just remind yourself of how many times in life. When you have the most going on, the most stress and everything, did you not figure it out at all? Like things literally collapsed. You like left your child at daycare overnight because you just forgot them. Like we are auto processors. Our brains know how to make sure the things that have to get done actually get done. Our problem is that we think the things that have to be done are this long and things that actually have to be done is very small, and everything else gets prioritized and managed over time. But if we keep saying all of this, like putting pressure on ourselves that we have to perform all this, we stay jacked up. And we don't have to be.
And I definitely don't want to be, and I've watched myself. I've caught myself a lot with the have to and the should and I need to, and it's like, not really. No, I don't. You know, that can wait. That's not a priority today. That might be a priority on Thursday, but it's not a priority today,
This
right?
can wait. Right. And I think that those are really like, I think it's just so good of you that you're paying attention to your language and then you're ping ponging it. Because I don't think like it is really hard to not use have to a lot, that kind of length should language, because everybody around you is using it. So it's
Exactly.
really hard for your brain to stop using language you hear all the time.
Well, and to that point, I also don't want to model that language for my other leaders, right? Because then it just,
Right.
it's a cascade, you know, and I don't want that like frenetic. I mean, when you're in sales, you know, there's just a cycle to that, and it's a little bit frenetic as it is, right? And so I don't want to model that for my team either.
I think you're going to be fine. And I think when you get through, I mean, you're like 1 month into this. I would venture to say, give it another like 6 to 8 weeks of you kind of just getting used to your role. Like I would just do what we're talking about, but not worry so much about the 2 pounds. As long as you're not overeating, that will modulate on its own. It will come down when your body feels good about letting it go. This is what I also know in maintenance. We make a big deal out of 2 pounds. 2 pounds is not noticeable in clothes nor in the world. I can gain 2 pounds overnight and all of my clothes will fit exactly the fucking same. I might have one shirt that's too tight for this size and 2 pounds in my, like, could make, pay that. But I don't wear so many clothes that are just, like a cat suit where I would notice, I only own one cat suit.
Well, and that is, I guess that would be something I have been acknowledging to myself is keeping up with my habits. I'm traveling every other week, so there's that dynamic as well. And I've been so solid with doable hunger, with my water, with my sleep as best I can, traveling and the menopause and all the things, but just supporting myself on like foundationally. I'm really proud of how I've been intentional and taking care of myself and showing up in that way. And that's why I wanted to come on today. I'm like, there's just something else, it's like, I don't want to get myself spun out or burnt out for that matter, because it's such a wonderful opportunity. And when you have that many people in your org watching you, as you know, right? You want to show up really well. So, yeah.
And just remind yourself that I will be showing up really well. Like, you do not seem like the kind of person who even has it in her DNA to show up like a jackass.
No, it's a life motto of mine. You show up how you want to feel, right? How you want to feel. But some what I don't want to be is like that duck, it's real smooth on the top and then underneath. I'm like,
I think you completing that stress cycle and just acknowledging too, if you're going to be traveling every other week, that 2 pounds is going to be up and down a lot. Because as someone else who, like, I travel for leisure, but we go to Vegas about every 2 to 3 weeks during the summer. Like, I planned next year's trips. We're taking 10 between April and October of next year.
Oh my
This is like a
gosh.
lot of trips
A
across the
lot.
country. And I know that I'm going to be up and down 3 or 4 pounds the entire time, because when I go to Vegas, it just immediately comes, whether I eat and drink or not, it
Flying alone.
immediately there. And then it takes me days to get it off when I get home, just because I sleep like ass when I'm in Vegas. I don't sleep as good. It's just, I think there's just too much electrons in the air or something.
It's a real thing. It's real. It is. Awesome.
So
Thank you so much. I
you're
really
welcome.
appreciate it. So happy to
All
have this
right.
time. Thanks,
All
Corinne.
right. Bye-bye. Let's see. Oh, I'm gonna move this box. Here we go. All right. Vicki, you're next. And I'm gonna answer a couple of the questions that came in. Let's see. I'm at work and have unstable internet and cannot get coached. My 87-year-old auntie still makes comments on my smaller size every week at dinner, ranging from, I could never be like you, I like bread too much when I'm eating bread, and I could never eat as little as you do. She eats less than I do. I love her dearly, but I do not like comments about my size from my family. My first response is irritation, anger, and indignation. I want to correct her. I want to shut her up about it. She is a good person and unlikely to change. I luckily do not blow my top and I ignore the comments, but I want a better approach here. It is a minor irritation, but driving me nuts. I'm just going to tell you, Alice, that 87-year-old aunt is not going to stop talking. That's not happening. Get that out of your mind. You're the problem. I know you think the auntie is the problem. You're allowing that to irritate you instead of one simple thought. How else should an 87-year-old woman who grew up in the age that she did is supposed to think? She is not equipped to think any other way. She is not listening to podcasts. She is not doing any of that stuff. My 84-year-old grandmother, like, if you heard some of that, she always asked me, should she do Weight Watchers? Knowing that I have a weight loss company. She always wants to go to Weight Watchers and she wants my opinion every single phone call. She always asks, her first question is, have you gained your weight back yet? Yet. She loves to, like, if I see her in person, she's always like, how much do you weigh? And then, like, I'm like, well, you know, it just depends. Like, the last time I saw her, I was about 150, which is usually my usual fighting weight. I'm a little under right now. And she always says, this is her exact words. Well, you know, every woman should be at least 140 or below. Otherwise, like, basically, what are we doing? I mean, this is my grandmother. So I don't get irritated anymore because I'm just like, what else am I expecting from Betty Lou? The only reason why you would be irritated is because you expect your aunt to talk to you the way you want to be talked to. That's not happening. So you just either have to decide, I'm going to be irritated every single time and not say anything. I'm not going to work on my thoughts. So I'm willing to be irritated by this. Or I would just be like, of course, this is what she always says. She doesn't know any better. In fact, I would probably add to it, and I feel really sorry for her because in her day and age, all of that was very true. And to her, that feels very real, that she can't do it. And if you want to be angry at the system that she grew up in that made her think that all of what she's thinking is the way it should be. Like, be angry at that. Don't be angry at her. She didn't have it. She didn't, she I will just say, at 87 years old, those ladies didn't have much choice. And that's how I look at it. And that, like, it, I find it hilarious that my grandmother says those things to me now. Hilarious. And my grandmother is saying the same things your auntie is. And I also feel really bad for my grandmother that at 84 fucking years old, she only talks to me a couple of times a year. And her first question is always about Weight Watchers. That at 84, that's still the most important thing on her mind when she's talking to her grandmother, her granddaughter. So I feel bad for her too. And that's what I would invite you to be thinking about, Alice. But that's such a good question. Okay. Vicky, what we got?
Well, I'm finally on maintenance. After years and years and years of trying to lose 30, 35 pounds, I was a member for a long time and I lost 10 pounds and but I kept going back and forth. So finally my doctor and I discussed it and I went on GLP-1 and I lost the rest of the weight. So that's great. But now I have nightmares, literal nightmares about gaining it back.
Why?
I am terrified. Well, because, okay, I'm 69. I've done all the diets. I went to my first Weight Watchers meeting when I was 9 years old, which really should be child abuse now, but my mother was doing the best she could.
I know. Mine was at 11.
Yeah, you know what? That sucks and it leaves a mark. And I was never truly successful in my mind because I never really got down to goal weight. I would get weight
You're
off and then
successful
I would gain it
now.
back. I'm successful now, but I have significant body dysmorphia. I put a picture of myself in the maintenance,
Group.
what, you know, BS, yes, no BS Facebook group. And I looked at it and thought, oh my God, is that me? Because when I look in the mirror, I still see myself at my heavy weight. And I'm terrified. You know, I've done all the things. I did the 70s diet pills. I did, you know, the no bread, no carbs, the no fat, all of it. Weight Watchers for a million years. And so now I'm like, okay, I use these shots. Am I going to like gain this right back?
Okay.
So
Are you off the shots?
I am weaning down off the shots.
Okay. So your body's going to have plenty of time to adjust.
Okay.
I mean, is that true or not? I like the way you're like.
Am I going to have money and time? Yeah, I guess I will. I mean, I can continue to take them as long as I want. My doctor's supportive of that. But I
Okay.
would like to
I
be
just
able
want
to
you to
get
think
off
about.
them.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I think that's great. And you're giving yourself plenty of time to wean off. So
I am.
I'm going to drop some thoughts for you to try on because your thoughts are all of my past has everything to do with what's going to happen in the future, which that's not how the world actually works. I want you to think about, well, I had a past just like you, and this was the last time I lost weight because I decided that this was the last time instead of like, well, we got to be like really terrified. I mean, I just stopped myself from thinking about my past. All
Okay.
it did was terrify me. All it did was make me anxious. And I want you to think about this. When you were at your biggest, how did you think you would feel when you lost your weight?
Free. I think I felt like I would be free, free of this god-awful weight problem that was always on my shoulders, was
You
always in
are,
my thoughts.
well, and you are free of it, but you're not telling yourself that at all. Just
True.
because this is the problem that we have in maintenance or when we lose weight, is we get to maintenance and we just think that somehow our brain is supposed to click and here's your happiness, here's your freedom, here's all your things, like all those ways that you've been thinking about your entire life. You're the unicorn. You don't have neural pathways. We're just flipping light switch on for you. That is not how it works. You have a human brain. It's
Right.
trying to go to what it's always thought. I'm very scared I'm never going to lose weight has now turned into now I'm very scared that I'm not going to be able to keep it off. So if we have a pattern around our body that is fear, we have to break the fear pattern. That is all that we have to do. And the way the world works is everything from the past, let me ask you this. Why do you think we have electricity now?
Because Benjamin Franklin decided to harness electricity or lightning.
Somebody figured out electricity. Although for centuries and thousands of years, we'd never had that. We'd always been with candles. I mean, how could we ever have electricity? My entire past was candles. Like, that is why it feels very true to our brains that what has happened in the past is what happens in the future, except we have an entire life experience that shows that is not how it happens. You came out of the womb, you didn't know how to talk, you figured it out. You figured out how to walk. You'd always been crawling. Next thing you know, you're walking. You were shitting in your pants for a long time. Next thing you know, you're using a potty. You had never went to school. How could you ever, like, how could I ever learn things? I've always done nothing at home with my mother. Like our entire, you'd never been married before you got married. Like, could you imagine if you were, like, are you married or
I
were you
am
married? Okay.
still married.
Yes. So, could you imagine if you went into your dating life back in the day? I've never been married. I guess I could never do that. I mean, how would you ever get married? How would that ever happen? I've always been single. That is like, we just don't make the connection in our minds that weight loss is the same thing because we keep trying it and we don't succeed. So we think that must be the way it's always going to be, except it's not. At some point, we succeed and we've conquered it. Just like we conquered walking, we conquered being single, we conquered school, we conquered jobs, we've conquered so many things that are like we've learned to do so many things in our life through trial and error. And we forget weight loss is the same way. For a lot of us, it's trial and error for a long time, not because something was wrong with you, trial and error because so many of the diets you did, you admitted it. Just like, and I've done them all. I've
All of
done
them.
really shitty ones from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. Like, They were really shitty.
They were really shitty. They
So
were really
it's really
shitty.
hard to succeed with a shitty diet. It'd be
Very
like saying,
true.
I went to a really shitty school. They didn't teach me any math. I don't understand why accounting is so hard at my job. Like, you
Really
would get
good point.
fired because you had a shitty education, not because you were an idiot. So it's the same thing with weight loss. Now, we have to tell ourselves this, and your brain is not going to stop thinking these things. It is so used to being afraid that you can't lose weight that now it thinks, well, I was afraid about it, and that's how I kind of lost it. So maybe I need to keep fear to keep it off. And we need to just remind ourselves, I don't need to be afraid. All I need to do is notice, am I overeating? Am I emotionally eating? If I keep track of my behaviors will tell me if there are any problems that come up and I can nip them in the bud fast. Because now I've really learned, and like the shot helped, but it's not like that's all you did.
No, it's not. It's not. I learned to recognize when I was hungry. I learned to stop eating it enough. I mean, those lessons were life-changing.
Yes. And that's why I think for you, it's like remembering all of my past has gotten me to this point. Not my past means I'll repeat it. When your brain gets afraid, we just want to keep reminding it. You're just going to have to be really gentle and nurturing to the very scared dieter in you because she's gotten what she's always wanted. And it would be very natural for her to worry she's going to lose it. So that's why she's not saying you are going to lose weight. She's like, reassure me. Can you please tell me what are you doing so that we can stay here? I like it here and I don't want to go back. I just don't want to go back. That's all she's doing. So if you nurture her, you reassure her, you say like, and I'm still doing these things. I am slowly going to wean off these meds. I'm going to give myself as much time as I need. I'm working in concert with my doctor. I am still in no BS. I'm showing up and getting coached. I'm asking questions. Like that will calm her down. And then eventually she gets to settle in. But I mean, you got to do that for a few months.
It's an interesting that you say that I need to be nurturing because I have never been self-nurturing. I beat myself up all the time. So that's an interesting concept to work on.
Yeah, that's probably your biggest work in maintenance because that's probably the reason why you ended up having a weight problem to begin with. I've never met someone who beats the shit out of themselves all the time that didn't have some type of something. For a lot of us, it's eating. Some people turn to drinking, some people turn to drugs. Some people turn to overworking. They annihilate relationships. A lot of people do a lot of things to compensate for being really hard on themselves. And then just reminding yourself of, the one thing I most wanted was freedom. And the way I'm going to free myself is by learning how to talk to myself differently because weight doesn't change that. Losing weight does not change that.
That's true.
I change that.
Good point. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I will
I
work on
think
being
you're going to be.
self-nurturing.
Yes. And check in all the time with the maintenance group. Any of your fears, be talking about them in there. Go to ask coaches. Like, really use this time to be like, I'm like, the losing weight, physical weight part is over. Now we got to lose the mental weight. Yeah, and it's time to like, that's the diet we need to go on now. That's the one we got to work on.
All
Okay.
right. Yep. Thank
One other
you.
thing I just want to say, this for your body dysmorphia stuff. Take more pictures of yourself. When we look in a mirror, I don't remember the way that this works, but for some reason, the brain, when it looks in a mirror versus when it looks at a picture, processes them very differently. And so, like when you're looking in a mirror, it is weird, but it can happen where you look bigger in a mirror
Right.
than you do
Right.
in a
Fat
picture.
mirrors. Right.
Yeah, but it's not because of a like a fat mirror. It's like in your mind, it's like you literally see yourself bigger in mirrors than you usually would in pictures for some people who like this is a real phenomenon. And so one of the things that I read about it was some body image book I read ages ago. Don't even ask me for the name because it's like it was at least 10 years ago when I read this book. But it talked about taking more pictures and looking at them and reminding yourself, like if that's where you can see your actual body or you can see like you can catch glimpses of yourself that you really
Right.
like, you look at them and you start telling yourself, that's what I really look like. That's more what I really look like. And then when you look in the mirror, if you're thinking, like if you're seeing the old version, you say, that's not the real version. And you look at it, like you can even look in a mirror and you can look at a picture just to prove to you, you have to like show your brain, like this is a mirage in the mirror. You're not seeing what you think you're seeing. This is what we're, this is what it really is.
Yeah. Good idea. Thank
All right.
you. I
You're
appreciate your
welcome.
help.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There is a book, y'all, that I do remember that I read. It's very woo on the body image stuff, but and it's not easy, but it's a book called Mirror Work. And it's like the way the book is it's set up where like every day you do a mirror exercise where you look in the mirror and you do things and you talk to yourself and whatnot. I just read it so that I could get some of the concepts. I may go back one day and do it. I'm not a super woo person, but I couldn't do it. Like I just was like my brain wasn't, it wasn't that I didn't want to improve my body, but it was like I've had this book for a long time, but it was like I couldn't convince myself that looking at my body and changing the way I thought was like worth my time and energy. I just kind of remember going through that. And I'm now that I'm talking about it, I'm like, there must be something else going on in there because it would be weird that for me, like a lot of times I like to think about my patterns. It's odd for me to have a book or have something that I don't like. I'm a good student. Like if I get a book or I take a course, I am the nerd. I will do all the work. I might not go to calls. I never go to live calls, but I will do every worksheet. I am the person who will like, you know, buy a fresh notebook so I can like do my coursework or whatever. So I have to look into that for myself. All right. Let's go to this question. When I joined, I was 187. My original thought was my goal would be 135. I got to 145 and felt good, liked how I was eating, et cetera. So I decided my maintenance range would be 140 to 148 about 4 months ago due to inflammation. My doctor recommended a gluten and dairy-free diet. Since then, I've lost another 6 pounds. Eventually, I'm hoping to reintroduce dairy and possibly gluten. My fear is that if I reintroduce and do not have an inflammatory response, will gain the 6 pounds or more and be out of my maintenance range. Well, you would be in your agreed maintenance range. You got to 145 and you said you wanted to be 140 to 148. How would you like if the 6 pounds got you way like that got you under 145 minus 6 is 139, which has got you under your maintenance range. So if you just gained the 6 pounds back, that would just put you square right back in the middle. I don't understand why, number one, that you're afraid of that. Because you're talking about it as if you get out of your maintenance range. 6 pounds would still land you square in the middle. So sometimes our brain likes to think things that aren't actually factually true. It's like, oh, I got to do the math. And when I do the math, I'm like, oh shit. Like my brain is just doing bad math. The other thing is if I reintroduce this stuff and you don't have an inflammatory response, if you don't have an inflammatory response, adding them back in shouldn't gain the 6 pounds. Because if the 6 pounds was due to inflammation, you shouldn't have a problem. Like if you get it all out of your system and when you reintroduce slowly, if it doesn't trigger inflammation, only if you overeat it, if you add gluten, and I think it's the word add. I want you to think about it this way. I will be having gluten and dairy, and there will probably be some foods I eat now that I will exchange for those. And the reason why I say it that way is because let's just take it on a math calorie level. Let's say you can now have yogurt. Let's say you've been eating eggs and avocado for breakfast because we're not doing gluten and we're not doing dairy. And you're like, great. Now that I can have some dairy, I'm going to add, I want to have eggs and Greek yogurt. And you don't have an inflammation response. Well, you removed avocado to have the dairy. I think sometimes when we think about adding foods in, we think like, now I'm going to be eating so much more food. It's like, not really. Like, you're still going to use hunger and enough. And you're just going to be putting these foods in, which probably means you're not just going to slap them on top of everything you've been eating. It's like, I would naturally, if I want to have this, I'm not going to have this anymore. I'm not going to have, like, I won't have, like, it's not like you're going to have eggs, avocado, and be like, well, now that I'm on gluten and dairy again, I'm also going to have toast and I'm also going to have yogurt. Like, you would be putting them in blocks that still aren't hungering enough. So think about it that way and see if that helps kind of take down a little bit of that fear. Okay. I'm going to do one more person because this is just an hour call, but I'm going to go ahead and get one more and then we will go on from there. Judith. I gotta text Chris super fast. I've got a headache, y'all. I gotta get some Tylenol. Not a bad headache, just a headache. I think I've got sinus issues and they're just pounding on my ass. Well, Judith, you coming? Yes, it's sinus, Christy, and I just need to like. Well, let me call up Vern. Looks like Judith isn't coming. I don't think. Otherwise, I've just called up two people. Nope, I got Judith. All right, Vern. Sorry, Vern. Don't accept my invitation if you can. All right, Judith, can you unmute yourself? Okay, let me call up Vern. And then you'll need to get into your settings in your phone. And you've got to, I think you probably have to give Zoom access, okay? And then I will get you right after that. We'll just do everybody. Why not? All right, Vern. Oh, wait, Vern, where are you at? This is hilarious. It's like, yeah, Tennessee is killer for my sinuses too, Darlene. Vern, are you coming? I feel like a goober. All right, hello. All right,
Hi.
what are we touching on?
I just want to know if this is normal or not normal, okay?
Okay, I'm gonna say it's normal, but that's without, like, I think everything's normal, so there we go.
Okay. So I plan, like, there'll be days when you plan your workout, right? Like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I sometimes can get these health conditions that perimenopause has been a gift of UTIs. Like, it keeps on giving.
Hey, speaking of, are you on estrogen cream? It's
I
supposed to help
am.
with UTIs when you're in
Indeed.
menopause and perimenopause. I was at a conference recently and they said that everybody basically, if you're in perimenopause till the day you die, females should be on estrogen cream because, and I'm trying to get my mother on it because she has had her second round of kidney infection that started with E. coli.
Yes,
I'm
I
like,
have E. coli.
Mama, I'm like, get on estrogen cream. All right, go ahead.
I have E. coli now. In the last 6 months, this is maybe the fourth in UTI that I've had, in spite of being on the cream and stuff, right?
Okay.
And it gets na it gets I mean it but then what happens is this, right? My brain tells me I should still be working out, right? So say
No, you
Sunday.
shouldn't. Now it's normal. I will say this. It is very normal for your brain to want you to work out because it's got health benefits.
Yes.
There's probably a million reasons why your brain is offering that. You know,
Yes.
like it, sometimes it can even offer it because it's all worried that if you're not working out, somehow you're going to gain weight.
Yes. Yes.
Although nobody loses weight because they're working out. They always lose weight because they alter how they eat. That is
Yes.
the only way to lose weight.
Yes.
All right. When you have a UTI, the worst thing that you can do, and unless you just want to keep the UTI extra long because it's so much fun, is you should go tax your body.
Right. And then, so then, but then, yes, okay. So this is great, right? Because I think here I'm thinking I'm just sometimes I'm just taking the easy route, right? Like some people say you should gag and grow, gag and go. And if Oprah called and you did it.
If you don't have a UTI, like I will tell you, Suma, if I am sick, so I wear an Oura ring. If this little son of a bitch says I've got a minor symptom warning and I don't even know that I'm sick, I don't work out on that day because I'm like, well, the last thing I want is to get sick. So I don't tax my body on those days. If I, like today, I was going to lift legs today. So I do a 4 day split. I do legs twice, upper body twice. And I purposely pick this routine so that on weeks where I'm tired or I'm traveling or whatever, I can either just lift twice, three times, or four. I get it's dealer's choice. I woke up this morning. I finished a major project yesterday for y'all, a really big one. It's for handling the holidays in November. And I was drained when I woke up this morning. Probably one of the reasons why I even have a headache today. I'm not going to the gym. I'm like, no, because I'm physically tired. I worked mentally really hard yesterday. I did a lift yesterday. And when I woke up this morning, like, I was just like, oh, I'm waking up way harder today than I normally do. So I like killed it because I don't think of like, I love to lift weights,
Same, yeah.
but I really love a healthy body.
Yes, okay.
A burned out body, a body that has to carry a UTI around for an extra couple of days because I go to the gym when I really don't need to be there, like, doesn't make me feel good.
Okay, sounds good. I mean, just been battling a few of these, you know, to and fro, and then the brain kicks in and says, no, you're not well, you shouldn't be doing this, like run antibiotics. And so just trying to you know, make sense of this while I'm at it, right? Like I'm not like it, sometimes it does feel like the to and fro feels like a huge to and fro, like it's a constant volley of should I and shouldn't I, should I and shouldn't I kind of a
Yeah,
deal.
and just
Yeah.
know that your brain is going to want to ping pong on that.
Right.
And you just say, and we're not. And you just keep saying, like, and we're not. Like, I just don't think going to the gym, like, even though I like it or whatever's going on over here, I just don't think it's a good idea when I'm on antibiotics and trying to get a UTI settled because
Right.
all of my body's energy really needs to go to that. Because when you work out, now your body's got competing needs.
Priorities. Yeah.
So it has to slow down your fat burning. It's got to slow down your muscle building. It's got to slow down your healing process for your UTI. Everything moves slow and nobody wins. Like, especially for me, like if I'm sick or I've been sick, I won't lift weights at all. Because number one, I know I'm not going to be able to lift the way I need to lift anyway. So it's kind of like pissing in the wind. Number two, I won't be able to get the benefit of the workout. The whole purpose of a workout, especially strength training, is to break down muscle so that it can rebuild, repair, and come back stronger and tighter and all the things.
Right.
You're sick, your body is like doing everything possible to not do that.
Right.
And so you miss out on all the benefits. Your body and your muscles in particular, if you're a regular strength trainer, one thing we have a hard time doing is taking off a week. So like for me, I take about every usually 8 to 12 weeks, I take a full week off from lifting weights so that joints and tissue and my muscles can get a break. So that I can come back the next week and start back up. It's called a deload week.
Right.
And it's very like common in the bodybuilding world, except for dieters.
Right.
We don't do that. Like, why would I take a week off? It's like, because, like, lifting weights is hard on your joints. That's why you need deload weeks and stuff. So you either gonna lift really light. I take a full week off. I'm just like, no lifting for 7 days. I can walk all I want. I can stretch all I want, especially stretching, because sometimes in Corinne's world, that is the only time she stretches is
And
during
I think,
deload
yeah,
week.
and I think it has come down to this identity shift, because 2, 3 years ago, I used to really lift a whole lot, but with iron deficiency and this chronic fatigue has kicked in that I just need to sleep in. Like I was taking a nap while listening to you, right? The periods are heavier now. The iron deficiency kicks in. I may need an iron transfusion like in under 3, 4 months. Like I can feel all of that. Plus 11 plus hours of working on the computer, right? I feel like Saturday and Sundays are really my decompression days, that I really need the time to, just decompress. Like I just want to rot in bed, literally, like not do
I think
anything.
that's great. Like, I do that too. I have days where I'm just like I schedule, like I was telling Chris this when we were in Vegas, when we're done doing our Vegas trips, like during the winter, we tend to just work every day. We get into like Chris would work around the clock if I'd let his ass. I mean, 24/7. And I told him, I was like, I want to have one day a week where we sit in bed all day and we watch like marathon things. We love watching like a lot of things. So like if it's football season, I want it to be Saturdays where we just sit there and we just watch all the football. If it's not football season, then I want to like find shows we can binge watch. But I want one day a
Absolutely.
week where we're not doing anything. And he's like, well, I don't really like that. And I said, well, I'll tell you what we can do. You get up and you work early in the morning. And when I get done with things I like doing, like that'll be if I wanna go get my nails done, if I want to go for my walk and talk to Jane and like whatever I'm gonna be wanting to do, like just my eat my breakfast, shit like that, my journaling. I'll do it. And then around 10 in the morning, that's when our day in the bed of like just having fun, just decompressing. I wouldn't call it rotting. I don't know that, like, I'm always worried, like, when we use words like rot and lazy, because
I
it
agree.
means that we have some shame. Like, oh my God, when I rest and give myself what I need, I'm also doing something bad. It's like, no, you're actually doing something that every human was intended to do. We're not intended to work all the time. That is why our health, like if you burn all the time, then you will suffer the health consequences. Like the body will let you know
Oh, yeah.
when you are pushing it too much. So just like maybe for you, doing a little work on, because I know we've coached several times, and I think this comes up a lot for you on like taking it easy for you is like hard. Like taking it easy on yourself, taking it easy in the gym, taking it easy in the bed, taking it easy when you're sick. Like there's a repeating theme of life for you, which is, my gosh, if it's easy, it's wrong.
Well, yeah, most of us it is. Yeah, I mean, I'm an immigrant, moved to America. Like, God
I
forbid I make it
know.
easy and life it, and then think then the God get thanked.
Let me ask you this. How many more years of your life do you want to spend blaming it on being an immigrant versus
None.
changing how you want the rest of your life to go?
None. And I do take it easy, right? Like, I don't, I my friend circle is really limited because I can't do these. I don't want to spend my energy on just hosting people and all of that. So no, I do take it easy. My husband's lovely that way. Like, if I tell him I'm taking a nap, he's like, "Yes, you need to rest. Like I'm supposed to go vacuum someplace else right now in an under house," and he's like, "No, you take it easy. I'll get home and I'll do it." Right. So all of that is in place. It's just that sometimes you just try to wonder, right? Am I like, I know I'm doing enough, but where do you, I know you say like your reasons for it, but when these are recurring health issues and you seem like you haven't been in the same shape that you have been in 2021 or 2022, and
right now I don't see like my body is right now going to be in the same spot it was before, right? Like if I can get one resistance or two resistance workouts done in a week, that's like a huge win for me right now. I mean, that's where I am right now, right? But it's the image that you have in the brain and what you like to do, right? Because strength training, lifting heavy gives such a huge dopamine hit. It makes me feel so good about myself that I think I
So,
miss it too.
let me ask you this. What if your next breakthrough in life is learning how to get a huge dopamine hit from taking care of yourself instead of the gym? And the reason why I say that about the easy, I know you're doing it, but I think a lot of it is performative. Like, I
Yes.
want you to take it easy and I want you to be like a rich bitch, like, this is me. I deserve it. This is the best. Thank you, Lord. Like, everybody should be doing it. In fact, I want to advertise. I'm going to run commercials of me taking it easy so the rest of the world can see how a bitch does it. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I think you're doing so much good stuff. Like, I do. Like, you're acknowledging where you're doing it. You have made so many changes and things like that. But now it's like, how do we do it and relish? How do we do it and do it so well that you're never needing Corinne's like approval?
Right.
Or you don't need somebody to tell you. Like, and I totally get this, Suma, because a lot of times, like when I want to do something, I still will like, I know I'm going to do it. And I'll go to my husband and I'll be like, I'm just tired today. Like,
Yeah.
I don't have the focus. I think I just need a day off from work. Like, I just need a day away. I need to go to a mall. Like my favorite thing to do is go to a mall and shop and buy nothing. I
Yes.
can't tell you how many times I've walked malls, tried on clothes, looked at purses, like all the things. I never buy anything. But I just enjoy the experience.
Me too.
And I will still go to him and be like, and do you think that's okay? Because like the work for me is still like you're not doing anything wrong. But I ask for permission because there's something still in me, even though I do it, even though I give it to myself, it's like I want to get to where I want you to get to where I'm going, which is
Right.
I want to get to where I can do it and just never have to ask for anybody's permission. I never feel like it's lazy. I want to get to a point where I appreciate that this is really the right thing to do, not,
Right.
well, you can because you did all these things.
Right.
Like, I'm just like, that's where I want to get to. And that's where I would love for you to get to, too. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
And I
No,
do
I agree
appreciate
with
that it's
you.
hard, you know.
No, yes, I appreciate it because I think in my logically, yes, I know that's the place I need to get to. Like, I don't need nobody's permission. Yes, right. But it's the nagging sense of maybe I'm going to slip up or I'm going to, miss something or I'm like, my memory is foggy right now, right? I won't sometimes don't remember the other day I didn't remember somebody's name. Like, that happens a whole lot now. And you feel like, oh, and I'm like only 33 right
Chris is
now.
sitting here. Come here for a second.
Right.
I literally, what was I telling you yesterday that I want you to start watching out for? Because like I was so afraid that I
You
might
asked
be.
him what you said.
Yes.
Like
But tell him what I was talking about when I was like, I'm gonna start pointing this out to you. I think something's wrong with me.
not
Yes.
being able to find the word you want to use.
Like I forget things now. Like I'm like, we were talking last night and there was like, I don't know, some word. I don't even remember the word now. And I was like, this is one of those things I was telling you about. I think this is a problem. I can't find the words. And
Yes.
I'm like, but I know this is also menopause. And you're just looking at me like I was crazy. And I'm
Yeah, what's the
like,
name of the show of the composer that did the music for Game of Thrones?
yes, just like stuff that I would have been easily able to recollect 5 years ago. I told him, I was like, I get on calls sometimes and like people are talking and I'm like, I have to always say, if you could sum this up in one sentence, what would it be? Because
Yes.
I heard you, I'm paying attention, I'm not even distracted, but somewhere in my mind, it was like, well, that's gone.
No,
So.
conditioning from Taylor
Okay.
on this front. I've researched it a little bit.
You want to just tell them that I got a room full of menopausal women that are going to be writing in to know what it is you found.
So creatine in the right
Oh,
dose.
yeah.
So the dose is higher than,
Traditional.
yeah, it's 1.4 grams per kilogram of body weight, which,
Daily?
yeah,
And it's not going to hurt you?
it's not, definitely not going to hurt you.
Okay.
It's been well studied. And you don't take it all at once. You take 5 grams at a time.
Like through the day?
Yeah. And you can take it anytime. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But so for you, that's probably 10 grams ish
Okay.
a day.
1.4.
1.4 grams per kilogram of body weight.
Okay.
Look, everybody's gonna be writing it down. Like,
Calculating, and it's body weight in
even I'm writing it down.
no, is it 1.4 body weight in pounds or body weight in kilograms?
Kilograms.
Okay. There you go.
1.4 grams per kilogram of body weight.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have seen a lot of research about create, like, and here we are in the maintenance call, getting off on our perimenopause and menopause talk. But I have seen a lot of emerging research in this. Like, they've always known creatine is like one of the most well-studied and safest,
Yeah, it, I mean,
supplements that like a bodybuilder can take. That it's really been just in the realm of bodybuilding, but they have been proving that it helps so much with brain cognition.
okay.
and the reason for this level of dosage is if you take this much every day, then it saturates what your muscles can use, which lets your brain have some. But it's got to be steady. Like you won't feel it on day one, but day 51.
Okay. I'm going to start this for all of you. As I always say, I'll go first. I'll report in how this works for all
Change
of
is
us.
hard. You go for
That's right. Change is hard. I'm going first. I'll do it and let y'all know if it improves. I've been thinking about doing it anyway. Not this. I got like a different recommendation, but I got it from Shailene Johnson, and I don't always trust Shailene. She'll put anything in her body at mass quantities. I'm like, she's going to glow one day. That's what's going to happen. But the other thing that I will say about creatine for all of you, because I know a lot of you are taking diligent notes and y'all going to talk about it in the Facebook group. The only creatine I recommend is from Thorne. What's the name of them? Thorne?
It's just
Just
Thorne.
pharmaceuticals or whatever.
Thorne.
Yeah, Thorne. The reason why I say that is because they're well studied. They're high quality. You're not going to get filler and crap in
Like
them.
Olympic athletes take it because they don't have anything that's not supposed to be in there. There's no lead from China.
Yeah, like a lot, almost 90 something percent of creatine is made in China and it's full of shit.
Got it.
So you're not just, you're getting a lot of things you don't want, and you're probably not getting the creatine you think you are in the dose. So I started taking Thorne 2 months ago. I think I finally, I like read somewhere, like I was on, I don't know, I was reading about like weights, and they said, don't take most creatine. You want to find a creatine that's not made in China. It needs to be made in the
And
States.
don't get, even if it says Thorne, don't get it from Amazon because you never know what you're gonna get.
No, it
Just
can be a
go straight to
knockoff.
Thorne.
Yeah, go to the Thorne website to get it.
And their stuff mixes very well too. Just in plain water, you just shake it up,
I can like mix it
mixes.
in anything and like it's good to go. And you might taste it a little bit, but it's not that much. I put it in Extend. I put it in a smoothie. I put it in oatmeal, like anything that's like creamy or whatever. A lot of times I mix it in cereal. Like I just put it in whatever. So, and then when you put it in stuff like that, you don't really taste it. Now, if you just put a scoop in some raw ass water, it's definitely got a little bit of a medicinal aftertaste, but it's not like gag worthy or anything. So I've taken it straight too. So okay. Thank you very much. We probably need to, I promised Judith I would coach her. Like this call is going to be epic for the maintenance crew.
Thank you for your time today. Thank you.
All righty.
Hope you
Bye-bye.
bye.
Thank you. Somebody said, but doesn't creatine cause water retention? It does when you first start taking it and then it goes away. So the way that creatine, and it's not that much. I used to always be afraid to take it back in my bodybuilding days, even though my bodybuilding coach was making me take it. And I would be up like a pound and I would just freak out. And nowadays I'm just like, oh my God, Corinne, we do not freak out because we're taking something really good for us. If the scale goes up a pound, it's water. It's not because you just ate fucking ding dongs. There's a difference between eating ding dongs and gaining weight and being up a pound because your bodies are getting, your muscles are getting saturated with glycogen and water. So like you just always have to be working on yourself around that. But it eventually levels out. Then it like your body doesn't hyper have to hold on to water anymore. And you said like the pound you might gain will go away. Now, if I up it to this, I'm going to test it and I will give everybody my high review. And then if I gain a ton of weight, I will kill Chris Crabtree first. And then I will come back and tell you guys to somebody smuggle me to a country where there's no extradition. That's a joke. We the last call, somebody said they, or the first person said they were going to kill their husband. And I said, I'm not going to see you on Forensic Files, am I?
Well, I think it was a joke.
Yes. Just so you know, I'm only joking. All right, Judith, I'm bringing you up now. Just going long today. Y'all would think I don't even have a headache. I'm just over here just chatterbugging away with my people.
Okay.
Hello, Judith.
Yeah, right. Finally went away.
Here we are.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Okay, very quickly. So thank you for everything today. I'm looking forward to seeing, not looking forward to seeing the two of you, the other caller and yourself on Forensic Files. thought that was kind of funny. Just wanted to share that, and I've been doing private coaching since March with Betsy. That's been great. The stress cycle thing, I'm going to talk to her about tomorrow because I'm also getting ready to be finished with my private. And I think that I have to admit, I've made it through my stress cycle. My partner, Dennis, died in February, very, very unexpectedly. We were on a cruise. I was in Cozumel. I was at sea, actually, but we had been at Cozumel. And so my life has been a little wonky.
I would also say so.
Also had back surgery in April. So it's just all crazy. But I have to admit, I have made it through. I've made it through my current stress cycle. And I've done it. I've done a lot of hard things and I'm good. Maintenance. I am maintaining skills. I am maintaining habits. I am maintaining a weight that I don't want to be at.
Okay.
And just that understanding to share with everybody, I guess it was just a thought that I needed to remind myself, and correct me if I'm wrong, that sometimes we have to change our habits, our maintenance, what got us to where we are now. Like, and my biggest one is stopping at enough. I'm having to understand that I need a different stop at enough, lesser stop at enough. Okay. And I am working on it, and I just a reminder, I do have to say, like, I just started again yesterday of, all right, you're going to take a picture, you're leaving two bites, because I hadn't been. Okay. And that sometimes, so that is a typical, normal thing that happens, and we just have to live with it.
Yeah, we just call it recalibrating.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
That's what I call it. I mean, there's... As I get older, I'm going to have to recalibrate things as I get older. Just like I have to recalibrate workouts. I cannot work out late. I was thinking about this the other day. I was kind of like poo-pooing all over myself because I don't work out like I used to. I mean, I used to jump around the gym like a flying monkey. Like I did jump squats and all kinds of stuff. You wouldn't see me jump 1 inch off the floor now, unless I want a lot of arthritis in my big toes to flare up for 3 days. Not happening. I don't do any type of HIIT training anymore. It just does not work for me. And sometimes I feel bad about that. And then I just remember, like, I'm 51. I'm not 41 anymore. 41-year-old Corinne could really push her body and nothing would come of it. 51-year-old Corinne has to push her body in new ways. I have to recalibrate. The same thing will happen with eating. You know, as I get older, as we all get older, we're always going to be recalibrating. Our life situations are going to change. Our tastes will change as we get older. You know, like your taste buds will, you know, like they'll get a little bit duller as you get older. So you might have to recalibrate some of your foods and things like that. I just think it's normal to always be checking back in.
Okay. That was it.
I just wanted to check in on that because I'm sure, you know, my whole thing too is if I ask the question, it's probably a question that somebody else is thinking of and may not ask. So thank you. Recalibrate. I like that.
I love the term because it sounds like very normal. Like you would always I have to recalibrate my treadmill every year. And there's just like, you have to recalibrate your tires and different things all the time, because even if you're not doing anything crazy, just normal wear and tear is going to get things out of sync, out of kink, you know, that kind of stuff. And so you just think about like the human body, even how much we eat does the same thing. Like you can, especially in maintenance, I don't know if I've ever really covered this, but we'll talk about it, is like, you think you're stopping at enough because you kind of been eating that way for a long time. And maybe you were making like micro extra bites, like just not even a noticeable serving yourself just a little bit more, just a little bit more. And before you know it, you know, it's kind of different than what you were doing, but it doesn't really look different because it just slowly came up. That's why it's good to recalibrate. If you're not in your range, you just want to like re-examine those things just to make sure that some stuff didn't slide in under the radar. That's why maintenance is about paying attention. Like what I don't like about like regular diets is they always, like when you have boot camps and things like that, it's like, we're going to do like a 6 weeks thing. Like as if the end of 6 weeks, everything's finished. Or like if you do Weight Watchers or you do whatever, they say they always have like a goal weight and it's almost like, okay, we should be done. It's like, no, you're never done. You're done with the dieting phase, but you're not done with the phase of paying attention. Like, that would just be like saying, my child's 18. I don't ever have to think about him again. Like, I did my job, get out, and don't call me anymore. That's the way we finish diets all the time. It's like, oh my God, you're going to spend the rest of your life recalibrating your child, offering them advice. They're going to go off and do their own things, and then they're going to have problems, and they're going to call their mama and want to talk about it. And you're going to have to teach them some shit. Like when they have their first fight with their wife, they're calling your ass, and you're going to have to recalibrate them. And then they're going to have a baby, and they think they broke the baby on day three, and you're going to have to recalibrate them. Like that's what happens. And I don't think that losing weight's any different. We're always going to be paying attention to our body.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. That was
a good one.
We finished on a high note.
Yay!
All right, Judy.
Good afternoon.
Bye-bye. All right. I think we've got it done. We have talked about everything from killing husbands to creatine to recalibrating. That's a good call. All right. I will see y'all next call, whenever it is. I'm not sure what the date is, but I'll see you on the next call, and we will keep on rocking. Maintenance people, y'all keep doing the good work, doing the Lord's work. Right. Bye, y'all.